Have you ever felt that navigating the job market is, well, a bit like trying to push a square peg through a very round, very stubborn hole?
Definitely.
Maybe the hiring processes you've seen feel rigid or maybe slow to adapt, just plain out of touch with the actual skills you have.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that frustration.
Well, if that resonates with you, then today's deep dive is going to hit home because we're looking at an experience that really encapsulates this, but from a surprising international perspective.
Okay, interesting. Where are we looking?
So for this deep dive, we're digging into a blog post by Rob Van Linde. It's called The German Job Application Dilemma, an event between buzzwords and reality. And it was published just recently, September 16th, 2025.
Rob Van Linde, Dutch professional, lots
Yeah.
focuses on agility, innovation, AI, that sort of thing.
Exactly. He's deep into all that. And he went to this event in Germany about job application trends and AI. His account, well, it gives us this fascinating window into the disconnect between the buzzwords we all hear and the stark reality of actually putting things into practice.
Especially around skill-based hiring and AI, I imagine.
Precisely. So our mission today is to pull out the key insights from Rob's experience. We want to dissect not just what he saw, but why it matters so much.
Understanding the real-world effects of, say, slow adoption of tech.
Yeah, that and the power of actual practical hands-on knowledge and what it all means for you listening.
Right, whether you're job hunting or maybe you're hiring people.
Or even if you're just curious about how different places adapt or maybe don't adapt to new tech like AI, there's a really profound lesson here. So let's unpack this.
Okay, so where does Rob's story start? What's the first sign something's off?
Well, what's really illuminating is that his journey to the event itself already sets this remarkably telling tone.
Oh, how so?
He mentions being late. Why? Because of the Berlin S-Bahn delays.
Ah, the infamous S-Bahn. Yeah, anyone who knows Berlin knows that frustration.
Right. But here, it feels like more than just, an everyday sassel. It's almost the subtle symbol of inefficiency, maybe foreshadowing what he finds later about the event itself.
Like the physical infrastructure mirrors the sort of organizational or mental infrastructure he encounters.
Exactly. That kind of friction, that resistance to things running smoothly, even before he walks in the door.
Okay, so he finally gets there late, probably a bit flustered. What's the scene like?
Well, he says it's crowded, all the seats are taken, and he ends up standing like at a school fair.
A school fair for an event on AI and job trends.
Yeah, that's the description. It paints this picture that, despite the cutting-edge topic, the atmosphere wasn't exactly buzzing with innovation.
That doesn't sound very futuristic, does it? More like kind of basic, almost amateurish.
That's the vibe, like a school assembly trying to grapple with something really complex. What does that initial visual tell you about the mindset he was walking into?
Well, it immediately sets up this huge disconnect, doesn't it? The topic sounds advanced, job trends and AI, but the reality feels underdeveloped.
Right.
For someone like Rob, who's actually doing this stuff, working with agility and AI daily, that kind of setting must feel, well, pretty disheartening.
Yeah, you'd think.
It suggests maybe a lack of real investment. Maybe the audience wasn't quite ready, or perhaps it points to a deeper conservatism, a struggle to really embrace the concepts being discussed.
And that feeling of mismatch, maybe even a bit of exasperation, it just ramps up dramatically when the actual presentations kick off.
Okay, here we go.
Rob talks about wading through a lot of general, kind of vague stuff, and then they finally get to the core topic, AI.
Right, the main event.
And the very first slide they show on AI, it poses a question that just made Rob, well, stop and stare.
What was it?
What is a prompt?
Oh, wow. Seriously, the absolute basics.
Yep.
I can almost feel his reaction through his words.
Yeah.
He says he had to laugh inside and cry at the same time.
That's such a powerful mix of feelings, isn't it?
It really is. For someone like him, deep in the practical uses of AI, being asked to define the most fundamental interaction, it's not just surprising. It says so much about the knowledge gap there.
A huge gap. He literally says, while elsewhere people are already talking about practical application scenarios, here we are still stuck with the absolute basics.
And that's the crux of it. Global discussions are moving so fast. Applications, ethics, new models, and this event is still at square one. It highlights a critical delay.
It really does, and it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What are the bigger implications when a conference supposedly about trends is actually stuck on the ABCs of a technology that's already changing everything?
Is it just about catching up, or is it something deeper, like a resistance, maybe, a preference for the old ways?
Yeah, because that foundational understanding, it's not just a detail, it's the base you build everything else on. If the base itself is still being debated, well, what hope is there for building the really innovative stuff on top?
Exactly. And the impact goes way beyond just one person's frustration. It's a systemic vulnerability.
Oh, so?
Well, if the people presenting themselves as experts, or even just the intended audience, are still grappling with definitions, making that leap to actually using AI effectively becomes almost impossible. It suggests a big chunk of the professional community there is way behind the curve.
Which isn't just about curiosity, is it? It's about
economic survival. It's about attracting talent, staying competitive. If you can't even speak the basic language of this tech, you can't really join the global conversation.
And this gap, this maybe lack of interest in the practical side, it gets even clearer later on, doesn't it, when data protection comes up. GDPR.
Ah, yes, the GDPR section.
Rob couldn't help himself, could he?
Nope. He's clearly a practical guy. He jumped in and suggested a real-world solution. Why not use Mistral?
Right. Developed in France, GDPR compliant. He called it a real alternative. He's offering a constructive idea.
Exactly. Not just pointing out problems, but the response he got. Wow.
Yeah.
It just perfectly highlights his whole point about the disconnect.
What did the expert say? The expert responded with, does the tool understand German or only French?
Oof. That says a lot. Not about the tool, but about the expert's awareness.
Totally. For Rob, that was the moment. He said it showed him how big the gap is between buzzword presentations and real practical knowledge.
It's not just knowing the names, is it? It's understanding what these tools do, their context, how they're built.
And Mistral. I mean, it's a major player, right? Open source AI developed in Europe.
Absolutely. It's designed for multilingual capabilities, including German. It's built to be efficient, adaptable, privacy conscious, all the things Rob was pointing out for GDPR compliance.
So asking if it understands German, it just shows a fundamental lack of looking into it, doesn't it? Even from someone presented as an expert.
It really does. It reinforces Rob's feeling that the whole discussion was just superficial, stuck at the buzzword level, not practical utility.
Feels like a very, maybe insular mindset, failing to grasp the global nature of tech.
I think that's a fair assessment. That question reveals a focus on perceived national limits rather than the actual tech capabilities. It's like a microcosm of a bigger issue.
How so?
It suggests the whole conversation about tech in that context might be held back by these very localized, maybe even blinkered, perspectives. They end up missing out on powerful solutions that already exist globally.
And that creates a barrier to adopting the very innovations they're supposedly discussing.
Precisely. It hinders progress by sticking to old ways of thinking. And you have to ask, what happens when a country or a big part of its professional world just can't or won't engage with these global tools?
The cost must be huge eventually. Lost productivity.
Lost innovation. A widening skills gap. Definitely.
So all these observations, the delays, the basic understanding, the localized views, they all build up to what Rob calls the uncomfortable truth.
Right. He confronts the speaker directly after the session.
He does. Clearly frustrated, but also wanting to engage. Yeah. He hands her a document with a QR code to his Google site, which is a nice little touch, showing his own digital approach. Uh-huh.
And he just lays out his own situation, which feels widely applicable. I can't find a job in Germany because they expect my cleaning lady to have a degree in business administration, while the rest of the world has long since switched to skill-based hiring.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. A bit hyperbolic, maybe, but it gets the point across incredibly well.
It really does. It nails the absurdity of relying too heavily on formal qualifications, often really narrow ones, over what people can actually do.
It's a direct challenge. And the speaker's response, what was that?
Equally telling. And maybe even more disheartening in a way. She didn't deny it. She just acknowledged it. Yes, that hasn't arrived here yet and will take a while.
It will take a while. That's an admission of a deep systemic problem, isn't it? It points to this cultural bureaucratic inertia, sticking with old systems over finding talent dynamically.
And Rob's reply, immediate, just two words. Yeah. A while is too long.
Boom. That really is the core conflict, isn't it? The voice of global talent, of progress, hitting up against that inertia. He's basically saying the world isn't waiting. Individuals can't wait. Nations can't wait if they want to compete.
So what are the actual tangible costs of that while being too long, especially for an economy like Germany's, known for precision and engineering?
Well, the costs are severe. For talented people like Rob, it means frustration, missed opportunities, maybe looking elsewhere. That's a brain drain right there.
And for the country.
A widening innovation gap, a competitive disadvantage. That cleaning lady needing a degree line really hits home. The system focuses so much on the academic box, it misses the actual capabilities.
Whereas school-based hiring looks at what you can do, not just your diploma.
Exactly. It opens up a much wider, more diverse, often more innovative talent pool. Delaying that switch means losing out on all that vital human capital.
So bringing this back to the bigger picture, Reich doesn't just complain, right? He draws a conclusion from all this in his post.
He does, a very clear one. He argues Germany cannot afford to lose talent just because processes are stifled by formalities.
It's an economic argument as much as anything.
Yeah.
Talent and adaptability over bureaucracy.
And he stresses that skill-based hiring is not a vision of the future, but has long been a reality in many parts of the world.
That's such a critical point. This isn't some wild, untested idea. It's about catching up to practices that are already working well elsewhere.
Like where?
Well, think about the tech sector in the U.S. or innovation hubs in Asia, other parts of Europe. They've largely moved past rigid degree requirements. They look at portfolios, projects, technical tests.
And they've seen results because of it.
Absolutely. Talent flourishes, innovation speeds up, often because they have this practical approach to finding people. The why of their success is often tied right back to pragmatic hiring.
And crucially, Rob sees AI as part of the solution here, not the problem.
Right. He says, AI is not the enemy, but the tool that helps us shape this reality.
So for him, AI isn't just something to talk about abstractly. It's a practical tool to make hiring better, more skill-focused, more objective, more effective.
How can AI actually help with that skill-based hiring revolution he wants?
Well, AI can be a game changer, really. Imagine AI parsing resumes, looking for actual skills and accomplishments, not just keywords or university names.
Okay, yeah.
It could help anonymize applications to reduce bias, maybe even run initial skill assessments that are way more objective than a quick human scan.
So it lets recruiters focus on real capabilities, not just paper credentials.
Exactly. It helps create hiring processes that are fairer, faster, and find better matches. Rob's vision uses AI to fix a real systemic issue.
And his personal response is pretty cool, too, isn't it? He's not just blogging about it.
No, he's actively building his own AI application assistants. Practical, GDPR-compliant, skills-oriented ones.
Wow. So he's basically building the solution he wishes existed?
Pretty much. It shows that individual initiative, that proactive problem solving, can be the way forward when systems are slow to change.
Taking action instead of just accepting the status quo. That's inspiring.
So let's bring this deep dive full circle. What does Rob's experience really tell us?
Well, it's this incredibly stark contrast, isn't it? Between the buzzwords, the theory, and the urgent need for practical application, especially with AI.
And it highlights that significant lag some places have in adopting modern, proven ideas like skill-based hiring compared to global trends.
And you really feel the personal frustration, don't you? Highly capable people hitting these rigid, outdated walls. The powerful story about the cost of inertia.
And maybe the rewards of adapting. So for you listening, we really invite you to reflect on your own experiences.
Yeah. Have you seen similar rigidities, either trying to get hired or maybe trying to hire, where skills didn't seem to matter as much as the formalities?
Or have you seen that disconnect in understanding technology, where the conversation feels stuck on basics while the world zooms ahead?
How might understanding this kind of dilemma influence how you approach your own career? Maybe focusing even more on showing your skills through portfolios, projects.
Or if you're involved in hiring, maybe it pushes you to advocate for more innovative, less formal screening methods in your own company.
The message seems clear. Skills matter, maybe more than ever. And the future demands an agility that some systems are still struggling to find.
Definitely. And as we wrap up, here's a final provocative thought for you to ponder.
In this incredibly fast-moving global economy, what is the true long-term cost? For individuals, yes, but also for entire nations. When they delay adopting proven, efficient approaches like skill-based hiring and really practical AI integration.
It's not just about lost time in recruitment, is it?
No, it's potentially lost innovation, a steady drain of top talent, and ultimately maybe even a slip in competitiveness and economic health. How long can any system really afford for a while to be too long before those consequences become, well, irreversible?
Something truly profound to think about as we all navigate our careers and try to shape the future of work.